you have a Bible today, I want to invite your attention to two different passages. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 6. Put your finger in that or a bookmark. We're going to go to Matthew 28 for just a minute, and then we're going to be back to John 6 as well. So I'm really excited about tonight and excited about this day and about what God's going to do. As you know, we've been in a series. We wrap the series up today. We start a brand new series next week about who God is. You don't want to miss it. Excuse me. Hey, I might cough. I'm on the backside of bronchitis. I'm not contagious. I'm on the backside of this antibiotic. But if I go into a coughing fit, don't worry about it. You don't need to bring me anything. Just at the last hour, somebody brought me a handful of cough drops that had been in their pocket for about a week. I was grateful, but that's okay. I got some. But if I do cough, let me just tell you, you just kind of talk among yourselves, text your friends, do whatever you got to do. I will come back, all right? And when I do, we'll be all right. I think it's going to be good. But next week, we start this series on who God is. And for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be walking through the character of God and looking at how big God is and how personal God is. I can't wait. It's also Lord's Supper next week. But as we close this series out today, it's been great. It's been designed to answer questions that you might have about why Centerpoint exists. If you've been a longtime attender or a brand new attender, why we're here. Where do I fit? You know, what does God expect me to do? And as you know, if you've been around, we've been launching all of this series out of the what we call the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. So you were working on it. We've been working on memorizing this together. Let's see how you can do. Say it really loud so I know you can say it, okay? Here we go. And Jesus, ready? Again, here we go. You weren't ready, right? Here we go. Ready? Here we go. And Jesus came up, oh wow, and spoke to them. Woo, you're good. All authority has been given to me in and on earth. Go therefore and make of all, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Pretty good. Now, you were really, really good on the first two. I don't know. You might need to work a little on the last one, but it was great. Thank you for working on that. When you see this passage, you begin to understand what Jesus has been teaching us. We've been walking through this, right? Last week, Todd led us to think about the mandate of discipleship. But not the suggestion of discipleship, but the mandate given by God, a command that Jesus gave to his followers. And Matthew 28 has taught us so much. As a church, as you know, we have a mission statement that flows right and came directly from that passage. I put it on the screen for you. I think I did. Come up here in a minute. Watch this. It's magic. Check it out. And our mission, as you know, is to take everyone we meet one step closer to becoming a true disciple of Jesus. Just one more time. Will you just say that or read it with me? Our mission is to take everyone we meet one step closer to becoming a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And so what we've learned so far from this mission statement is really four things. We learned in the first week to take ownership. Remember, we said our mission. That's not the mission of the pastors alone or the leadership team alone. The our means all of us. And remember, Jesus told his disciples to own it. And we talked about owning it. And as a church, we have a privilege both this morning and tonight to own it, to take ownership, our mission, not the church's mission, not someone else's mission, our mission. Our mission is to what? Well, not just to take ownership, but to take notice, to take everyone we meet. Who's the Lord placed in your life? Who is the Lord sovereignly dropped in your life? Maybe it's somebody who's at your job that just annoys you, but God has put that person there for you to impact with the gospel. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody in your mom's group. Maybe it's somebody at school. God has placed these people. So we talked about the idea of taking ownership, owning it for our very self. We talked about the idea of taking notice, everyone we meet. And then the idea of taking inventory. Take them where? One step closer, right? Take everyone we meet one step closer. What's the next step? So for some people in your world, the next step is just to get into a conversation about the gospel because nobody has ever, ever engaged them. And I know you're scared out of your mind, but you're praying, God, how do I do this? What do I say? Maybe even tonight. Can you imagine how many times this could happen tonight? How many times is the people that you bring tonight are going to hear the gospel and they're going to say, hey, you're going to say to them, hey, what did you think? And they're going to be like, I never heard that before. And then you're going to be, heart's beating like this, right? But you're going to have an open door. So if it's somebody that's never heard, it's to take them that first step. If they're curious, as we talked about, it's to engage them. If no one's ever told them how to meet Jesus, it's to tell them how to meet Jesus. Tell them the gospel. If it's somebody who knows Jesus, it's to get them involved in a church. If they're involved in our church, it's to begin to help them grow. What is that next step? Take inventory. So take ownership, take notice, take inventory. And the last thing we've learned really last week was to take action. The last part of our mission is to become a true disciple of Jesus. To step up and obey the command of Jesus. To do what Jesus tells us to do. Church, I know you know this, but I want to remind you, this is not a suggestion by Jesus. This is a command to all of us by Jesus. Now, I say that, again, not to beat you up, but a lot of us have grown up, if you've grown up in church at all, or you've grown up around, honestly, most of us, it was treated like this was a suggestion. This was just for certain people. It's just for certain opportunities in my life. Maybe once in a while I can do this, or just for people that have religious training or degrees in theology or the pastor. Listen, Jesus gave this command, and these were some of the last words Jesus would have on planet Earth before he ascended to heaven. And he thought it was important enough in those last few words to give us this command. This is not a suggestion. And hopefully this series has reminded you of Jesus' great commission to us. And you find yourself fired up to obey Jesus, to obey what Jesus told you by reaching the people in your world, by sharing with them that God loves them. Now I know if you've grown up around church, you think everyone knows God loves them. Listen, there is a whole world that does not think that. To share with them that God loves them, that Jesus Christ came to earth, that God so loved them so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth and to be beaten for us, to have the skin ripped from his back, to a crown of thorns on his head, to suffer and bleed and die because God took all the sin of the world, all of your sin, all of my sin, all of our sin, and laid it on Jesus. And he suffered and he bled and he died and he rose again. And then to tell them that they can be in a relationship with Jesus, that just knowing that is not enough, but they can invite Jesus to come into their lives and forgive them of their sins and be their Savior. And they can be in a relationship. They can be in the family of God. Hopefully God's fired you up about this, because church, listen, this is very, very, very important. Most of us talk like we believe it's important, at least when we're in church, but we live like it's not that important. This is very, very important. So hopefully throughout this series, the weight of this has gotten you as it has me. This is not a suggestion by Jesus. This is a command. And what do we call it when we don't obey command of Jesus? We call it sin. And a lot of us have thought, the sins are really about the don'ts, not about the do's. But is that really true? No. And if this is what Jesus has commanded us to do, then it's important for us to obey the command of Christ. Go and make disciples. Own it. But church, I want you to understand, as important as this is, Jesus didn't stop there. And I know you're like, wow, is there more? I can't take more. I'm going to leave. Honey, let's go to the bathroom right now. I can't take this. Is there more? There's more. Because look what he says. Jesus said, you can say it with me, go therefore and make disciples of all. Say it again. Go therefore and make disciples of all. So what does this mean? What did Jesus say? Jesus is literally saying to his disciples and to us, lean in, get this. Jesus is literally saying, do for everyone in the world what I've commanded you to do for the people around you. That's what he's saying. Go therefore and make disciples, evangelize, get the gospel, help them grow. Everything I'm going to talk to you about, baptizing and seeing them grow, teaching them what I've taught you. Do this not only for the people around you, but for the world. Many of us, again, grew up hearing People say, well, that just means the people in your world. It does mean the people in your world, but let's not minimize the words of Jesus. Jesus said all nations. He was articulately clear about this command. So you and I have a responsibility to evangelize and disciple and make disciples of people in all places around the world, all nations. And when you begin to understand that's exactly what Jesus said and exactly what Jesus meant, the weight starts to hit you. Because if you're like me, you begin to ask the question, well, how in the world could I do that? I mean, it's enough for me to figure out how I do that with the people around me. I'm struggling with that, God. How could I possibly be responsible for the world? But that's what Jesus commanded. And church, we do this. I put it on a simple statement for you. We obey this by going where and when we can and by investing our resources to get the gospel to the nations. That's what today is all about, global impact. This is the command of Jesus, and we obey this command of Jesus, first of all, by going when and where we can. That certainly means the people that we work with, go to school with, live around, our family, our friends, the people that God has brought into our world. We are certainly responsible to get the gospel to them, to evangelize, to disciple, to see them grow in their faith, to take them another step. We are certainly responsible for that. But beyond that, we go wherever we can. Todd just told you about mission trips, and inserted inside your point today is four different mission trips our church is doing, and you should go. You should go. You should go on a trip. You should learn to share your faith. You should go and share. We have a responsibility to go when and where we can. Many of you have opportunities with a lot of other organizations to go, and you should go and share the gospel. But we're also responsible to do it by investing our resources that God has given us to get the gospel to the nations. This is a core value that our church has. Fact is, our value is this. We are committed, look, to giving, going, praying, and sending that leads to global impact. That's a core value of our church. We are committed to giving our resources like we're doing today, going like we do on trips, praying for the world, and sending other leaders to the world that will lead to global impact. The goal is to impact the world, the globe. Now, what does that include when we say the world or all nations or the globe? Listen, the beauty of it is Jesus made that really clear. You say, really? I just see all nations. How do you know? Well, as you know, that's recorded in the end of the Gospels. This one's in Matthew. It's also recorded in Mark, right? Because the disciples were gathered on the mountain that Jesus told them to go to, remember? And they were there when Jesus spoke to this. But what's beautiful is we also have that recorded in the book of Acts, because the book of Acts picks up right where the Gospels leave off, right? Shake your head so I know you're alive. Okay. So it picked up right where we are, right? And so look what he says in Acts 1:8. We talked about this. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Now, this is the all nations. Look, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the world. So God gave us real clarity. Jesus told us exactly what he meant when he said all nations. In Jerusalem, now Jerusalem for us would be our city and central Kentucky. Judea would be our state, the state of Kentucky. Samaria would be our country, the United States, and the remotest part of the world, all nations. We are responsible to take the gospel to all of those places, to make disciples, to build churches, to grow the kingdom of God in all of those places. That's what Jesus is telling us. And I want to report to you, as a church, we do this through our regular missions giving. As a portion of every dollar, when you gave just a moment ago, if you put a dollar in that offering basket, a portion of every dollar, it's not enough, I wish it was more, but some of that dollar goes to get the gospel to the world. It goes locally to get to the gospel through organizations like Young Life and Crew and Step by Step, just to name a few. In state efforts like Kentucky Baptist Convention that's planting churches across our state, and FCA that's getting the gospel on high school and college campuses. A little portion of that dollar goes to work in the United States through church plants like the Field Church in New Orleans, and an Overland Church, Zach Thurman's plan in Colorado Springs, and North American Mission Board that's planting churches across the U.S., and things like the Poi Talk Center. Goes also to get the gospel to the world through International Mission Board, the largest mission sending agency in the world, through Voice of the Martyrs, through personal missionaries that we support in places like Israel and Africa and Brazil and East Asia and the Philippines and Uganda. When you give to the regular tithe of your church, you support these on a regular, faithful basis. So thank you for that. We also have special partnerships like we're getting to give to today. Our Bible translation project, Todd told you about. But for 10 years, we've been partnering to help get the Bible translated into a language that doesn't have it in Mozambique, Africa. And by God's grace, we're seeing that done through your gifts. As you know, this year also, some of the money goes to helping us remodel space and provide beds for 25 orphan boys in Uganda. I know you hear that and you say, 25, that's not very many. Tell that to one of the boys. Tell that to his parents. We get to get the gospel to them. We get to give them a place to live and food. We get to partner to do it. And then probably the greatest and most exciting part for me is the training of pastors in China, as Todd told you about, who are pastoring 10 house churches. Imagine right now, most of them have had no training at all. Imagine right now if God called you, if I just started pointing throughout here, and I picked maybe 15 or 20 of you and said, you're now going to pastor a house church with 25 or 30 people. You're like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, well, you got to do it. And you just had to do it. Imagine then for a moment how great it would be if somebody trained you. That's the resource they're getting. They're getting a week, about 18 hours a day or so of training. They're getting these devices that we showed you that have training in every chapter of the Bible, as well as pastoral things. They're getting 100 of these, and we get to invest in them. Church, listen, we've asked you for so much this year. We've asked for so much. We're sitting in a building that you've provided, and I just want to say thank you. I don't think we've said thank you enough. Thank you for being so faithful to give. Thank you for leveraging and using your resources. I know many of you have made sacrifices. I know you have. Thank you. It means so much to us. But today's also very important because Jesus commanded us. We have to obey this command to leverage our resources to get the gospel to all nations like Jesus told us to. And frankly, it's a daunting task. Today, none of us can do this alone, but today we can do together what none of us can do alone. We can accomplish it. We can all do a little. And that little will come together with God's blessing and produce a lot. When I thought about that, I thought about a very familiar story in Scripture that all of you have heard, but I just want to read it, make a few quick comments on it as we prepare to give in just a moment. It's found in John 6. Your finger was getting tired, I know, but we're there now. John 6. You'll know this story. Here's what it says. Look at it. It says, after these things, verse 1, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias, and a large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples, and now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing the large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, where are we going to buy enough bread so that these people may eat? But Jesus, verse 6, was saying this to test Philip, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered, Jesus, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be sufficient enough for everyone just to receive a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, said to him, well, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? And Jesus said, have the people sit down. And now there was much grass in this place. So the men sat down, and the number of those men was about 5,000. That's a crowd. Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed those to those who were seated, likewise also the fish, as much as they wanted. Look at this. And when they were filled up, he said to his disciples, gather the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost or wasted. And they gathered them up in 12 baskets worth of fragments, which came from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over from those who had eaten them. Well, this is a very familiar story found in all 4 of the Gospels, but from it, we can learn a couple of principles that will help us to get a picture about what it means to give and what it means to work together as a church today. First, we learn, verse 5, that the need is great. Jesus sees this crowd who had followed him, 5,000 men. If there was 5,000 men, there was women and children there as well, for sure. easily 20,000 to 25,000 people. Get a picture in your mind of 25,000 people gathered on this hillside. Verse 5, he sees this crowd and he says to Philip, "These guys have come a long way. It's late. How are we going to feed them?" This crowd had followed Jesus up on the mountain. The hour is late. The towns where they could buy food, they're far away. And so there's a need, and Jesus meets the need. Church, I want us to begin today by thinking about the need. When we look at the world, we begin to realize that the need to get the gospel out is great. Now, I know you've heard this a lot, so maybe you've forgotten, but let me say it again. The need to get the gospel out is a great need. Time's short. Whatever you believe about the return of Christ, I happen to believe that Jesus is coming very soon. But either way, Jesus is coming, right? The return of Christ is sooner than it was yesterday. The time is short for us to get the gospel out. People are moving farther away from God, not closer to God. All over the world, we see more and more distance away from God. Population is multiplying. More and more people are being born every day who have never one time heard the name of Jesus. Never one time heard the story that Jesus came from heaven to earth to save them, that they can be in a relationship with their Creator, that they can have their sins forgiven and go to heaven. They've never even one time heard it. They're not like people that you know that have heard it and rejected it. They've never even heard it. And every day, more and more and more and more people are being born. And hell is real. It's not a fairy tale. It's not made up. It's a real place of torture forever and ever and ever. And people go there who don't know Jesus, even people who have never heard. And the need is great. We need to pray for the persecuted church. Over 200 people, Christians, a day are killed for their faith. They're going through horrific things, horrific imprisonments. If you got to see the movie we played a few weeks ago, you got to see a little picture of this. But the persecuted church is amazing. We don't understand what they're going through. They need our prayers and they need our help. The need is great. Second thing we learned from the story is that none of us can meet the need on our own. When Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations," no one person can do that. That would be an impossibility, wouldn't it? Jesus knew that. None of us by ourselves can make disciples of everyone in the world. We can't meet this need alone. Look at verse 7. Philip answered him and said to him, when Jesus said, what do we do about food? Philip answered and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for this many, not even for everyone to receive a little. To feed this crowd, according to Philip, would take more than 200 denarii. Denarii was the equivalent of one day's wage. So put in today's dollars, that would be about $43,000. And so Philip looks at Jesus and said, "Look, I don't have 43 grand. I don't have it." He said, "How about the rest of you? James, what do you got? Come on, cough it up, Peter, come on. Now, what do you got?" They got it together. "Hey, Jesus, we got 18 bucks and leftover cough drop. I mean, it's all we got, Jesus, right? It's all we have. We need 43,000. None of us can do this." And they didn't have that kind of money. The disciples couldn't do it alone. And church, listen, the need to get the gospel to the world is bigger than any one of us. We should all feel the responsibility, but we have to do it together. We should all feel the responsibility, but we've got to do it together. The need is greater than any of us. We can't do it alone. That's why there are churches. That's why there are organizations. That's why we come together as believers, because together we own it. We believe Jesus tells us that this is the commission for you. Take the gospel to all nations. And because we believe that, we come together to do it. The third very quick thing we see is this boy teaches us to give what you have. Look at verse 9. Peter comes to him and says, "There's a lad, there's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish." And then Peter closes this statement with, "But what are we going to do with that?" I mean, can you picture this? 25,000 people sitting down on the ground, and Peter shows up with 5 little barley loaves and 2 sardines. I can just picture him coming to Jesus. We're like, our 18 bucks isn't enough. I mean, this is all we got. We found this. Hey, this boy here, he brought us this, Jesus. What are we going to do, right? Picture this for a moment. It's not enough. I mean, it's not enough for us to even get started. Andrew said, look, if we had $43,000 worth of bread, it wouldn't even be enough for everyone to have a little. What are we going to do with five small barley loaves and two fish? How are we going to accomplish this? And listen, church, lean in today. Jesus teaches us a principle from this little boy. And here's the principle. Bring what you have. Bring what you have. You know, so many of us even went into this missions offering worried about what we didn't have rather than just bringing what we have. God doesn't expect you as a college student, as a high school student, as somebody who's in a tough spot financially to bring what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. The boy just gave what he had. He just brought five little loaves and these fish. Now, the reality is that was probably his food ration for the day. That's probably all he had. And this little boy gave everything. It wasn't very much, but it's what he could bring. It's what he could contribute. And he held nothing back from Jesus. He didn't have five loaves and said, hey, Jesus, this is how we think. Come on now. I have five loaves, but you know what? I'm going to eat two of them. I'll give three to you. Or I'm going to eat three. I'll give two to you. I'm going to keep one fish. I got to make sure I'm prepared. I got to make sure I'm thinking. No, he just brought it. He just brought it and dropped it at Jesus' feet. Those things. And you know, it reminds me that little is much when God is in it. When I bring what I bring, God does what he does and miracles occur. This little boy brought it and God used it. Have you ever thought about this? I wonder how that little boy felt after about his gift. Can you imagine? Peter probably drug him by the ear, put him up here and said, here he is, this is all we got. And Jesus took it. And 25,000 people ate, and they gathered up like 12 or 13 large baskets. I wonder what he thought about after that. Do you think he ever told the story? Oh, yeah. Like for the rest of his life, everybody got tired hearing the story of how he gave his lunch. Listen, never forget this, church. Never forget this. Sacrifice brings blessings. Sacrifice brings blessings. When I sacrifice, when I give of my heart, not just a little, I give to God all that I have. When I sacrifice, when I give to God, what happens? I get blessed. God brings blessings back. Now, we don't understand sacrifice too much. Because most of us, we give out of our surplus, not out of our sacrifice. Sometimes we just tip God. You know, here's 5%, God, 10%, here's a quarter, here's a dollar. We give out of our surplus, not out of our sacrifice. This boy gave all he had, and God blessed it. Listen, God blesses us more than we can imagine when we sacrifice. Give what you have. Quickly, we also learned that God will bless and multiply it. You heard the story, but look at verse 10. Jesus said, had the people sit down, and there was a lot of grass. People sat down. There was 5,000 men. Verse 11, Jesus took them and blessed them. Can you imagine being that boy when Jesus takes his little food? I can just picture, I don't know if he did it like this, but I think he did, and held it up to heaven. Can you imagine? That little boy's just looking. That's my lunch, right? He blesses it in verse 11. Jesus prays and look, we need you, God. And what happens? Everybody's fed and there's all the extras. Listen, God will bless and multiply your gift. Never forget this. Here's a formula. Our sacrificial gift plus God's blessing equals a miracle. That's what happened here. This little boy gave his sacrificial gift. God blessed it. Jesus blessed it. And there was a miracle. 25,000 people were fed. God will do the same thing for you. And never forget this today. Jesus didn't need that little boy's lunch. You know that, right? You understand that if you're going to feed 25,000 people so that they're full, and by the way, there was probably a lot of hungry people then, so you can imagine how much they ate, because most of them probably lived in homes where they, you know, they tore off and everybody got a little piece of bread. Now they're like, you can eat all you want. They're like, you know, look like a seventh grade boy at a pizza party. I mean, you can picture this, right? It was like stuff, all they could eat. Can you imagine this? And they ate it until they, all they wanted, until they were full, and all this was left over. But God, if he was going to do that, he did not need to start out with some little boy's lunch to do it. He could have done it without it. God did not need that. Jesus did not need the disciples' help to distribute it. That was all a part of the disciples' learning. Listen, don't forget this. God doesn't need us. He lets us participate. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills. He doesn't need us. He lets us participate. And church, let me just remind you, just because we need to hear this, everything we have belongs to God. It all came from God. He can take it back anytime he wants to. It's all his. It all belongs to him. He's simply asking us today to give back a portion of what belongs to him so that he can bless it and use it to impact the world. And never forget this. Today, it's way more about your heart than it is about your gift. It's more about your heart than it is about your gift. That little boy didn't have much to give. It wasn't about his gift. It was about his heart. In fact, isn't that what Jesus said? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's about what matters on the inside as we give to him. The last thing we see very quickly is Jesus used that little boy's lunch to meet a need. And God will use your money today to meet needs and advance the gospel around the world. In the case of our story, this hungry crowd's belly was filled. I said this earlier, but I wonder, knowing that culture, I wonder how many people in that crowd had been gone without food. Maybe some of them had gone without food for weeks, for days. Hungry. They had needs met. A simple gift met the need. It was a blessing in their life. And that's what God's going to do today. Our gifts, blessed by God, are going to take the gospel to the world. Church, I want you to think about this for a minute. You're going to give today. You're going to put a $10 bill or whatever it is for you. You're going to drop it in that basket. And when you do, Jesus is going to bless it. He's going to hold it up and bless it. He's going to multiply it. And people are going to come to know Jesus that have never, ever heard the gospel before. I want you to understand that is literally what is going to occur today. That money is going to help translate the Bible into a language that doesn't have it. That money is going to help an orphanage be able to provide the gospel and real needs to boys. That money is going to help pastors in China learn how to share their faith, learn how to share the gospel. What you give today is going to help advance the gospel. It's going to advance the gospel to people we've never, ever met. It's going to advance the gospel to people who have never heard. It's going to make the biggest possible difference in the lives of people that we could possibly make. And it's going to do it for people that you'll probably never meet until you come to heaven. But that $10 bill as you drop it in today, or whatever it is for you, Jesus is going to bless and multiply it. So church, as I close, let me just say to you that I love you, and I love getting to do this with you. And Susan and I are excited about participating with our church family today in this. And today we have the privilege. We have the privilege today to make a difference. We have the privilege today to leverage our resources to take the gospel to the world. We have the privilege today to give what God has given us, His resources, to advance the kingdom around the world.